Hey everyone, it's me, Sean Capri. You're listening to something a little bit different here on the Xbox Drive podcast feed. You're about to listen to me, Sean Capri, going head-to-head with Mr. Badbit himself, the host, one of the hosts of The Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast made by the players for the players. We're going to do a little bit of console wars, and that might sound like it's very combative. It might sound like this is going to end in bloodshed, but I think this is an absolutely incredible conversation that Mr. Babbitt and I have about what has happened this year in 2020, of the lead up all the way up to where we're at right now. Now that we all have our pre-orders in order, we're a couple of weeks away from the launch of the next consoles, and we actually meant to do a bunch of these throughout the year, and we kind of had some, I don't know, I would say that between like Xbox and PlayStation, just like both were not talking at the same time, so it would have been kind of like a little bit odd, I think, if we were to do this throughout the year. If you think about the first few months where it was pretty much all Xbox, and then later on, you know, Sony started to come around with PlayStation 5 and revealing everything over there. Anyways, I don't want to have too long of an intro here other than to say, if you're not already subscribed to the Trophy Room, please go support that show. Even if you're an Xbox fan only, go listen to The Other Side, man. It's an excellent show. I subscribe. I think you should go support them. You can find this conversation also on Bad Bit's YouTube channel. So some more of that classic Xbox Drive cross-promotion, cross-play. It's all happening. Let's jump into it with some console wars.
Welcome to The Crossroads, a show about two friends on two different platforms talking about the state of video games. I am your host, Joseph. Alongside me, the man at McDonald's himself, Mr. Sean Capri. How are you, Sean?
Hi, Joe. We're the bestest of friends, and hopefully we'll be that at the end of this. But you know what, dude? It's no hold barred. We're going to go at it. I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. I think we're just going to have a good time today. I think this has been something that we've been wanting to do for a long time. We've been sort of talking to each other through each other's podcasts for pretty much the entire year. It's dangerous territory, to be honest with you. It's very dangerous territory.
Very dangerous.
Responding to each other. Tweeting each other, but mostly inflammatory stuff. But we think we're commenting on things and probably being taken in the worst possible case by the opposite fan base, things like that. So it's like these inside jokes that we're slinging at each other that people can see it and go, what is wrong with these guys? Like, you've got this opinion that I'm really averse to, and I want to slit your throat because of it. So we're not doing ourselves any favors on that.
And that's the thing. Like, yesterday, I think, I called you, the Canadian coward on Twitter.
I know. And you can see people, not know that we're really good friends and go, I don't think you should call him a name or anything. It's like, dude, that's fine.
We're having fun. We're chilling out. And that's a really cool thing. Is I think everybody's used to console wars of, my box is better than your box, fart noise here. And we're good friends. I run a PlayStation show. Yep. You run an Xbox show. Mm-hmm. And I think I can safely say we're both really excited for the future of each other's brands.
Right. So that's where I want to jump in here to say we're actually not here to fight about PlayStation or Xbox. We've both come together to join forces to shit all over Nintendo. We've tricked everybody into thinking that this is going to be a PlayStation versus Xbox thing. We're like, how about we've just had it with Nintendo? That's what we're.
I dusted off the Switch for Hades. Everybody's attractive. Other than that, I haven't used this thing since Animal Crossing. And that's April. Come on, Nintendo.
Seriously.
I got to pay $60 for three ports.
And your prequels are like the Musou games. Like, what are you thinking? Just going to play Animal Crossing the entire year? Not me.
Not me.
Skipped out on Paper Mario. This is just that people won't know that we're joking. Well, because we're kind of half kidding. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, I'm kidding.
Because it's fun to do. And you were just on Iron Lords podcast. And King is just unapologetic about it. When he goes into the Book of X, when he reads from the Gospel of the Book of X, praising Lord, what does he call him? Philus Maximus Aurelius.
Aurelius, soon to be Aurelius Spencer. Aurelius. Yeah.
They dive into it, man. But we wanted to chat about things tonight.
So last time we talked was in February. It's been a minute.
It's been a bit.
And I think before all we knew was about the Series X, it being a huge box.
Yep.
Now, fast forward, so many things have happened. Like, it's been a roller coaster of the last couple of months, like, both mm-hmm. in real life terms and in terms of, like, launching these consoles. Halo was supposed to be a launch game. Now it's not a launch game. Now we don't know a date to it. But mm-hmm. now Microsoft owns Bethesda.
Yeah, take that.
The sky's the absolute limit.
Spidey doesn't swing our way.
No.
You know, there's a bunch of things that we can kind of break down here, too. And even the year that was, I think when we started in February, at least I kind of expected there to be more from Sony throughout the year. But it was really like all Series X kind of the entire year until Sony was really ready to tell us a little bit more than the Mark Cerny, I'm going to like tickle your eardrums from the inside out. You know what I mean?
So let's start right there. Even with COVID being a thing, how have you liked Microsoft's way of talking to the community?
Now that it's kind of like we've reached kind of the, like, are we at climax? Are we post climax? We're approaching climax. I can never really tell.
I don't think we have the cigarettes out yet.
I don't think so. Okay. Fair enough.
I think we're about there. Yeah.
Because to your point, it has been a bit of a journey. At the start, I thought that they started out amazing with the very unexpected launch and reveal at the Game Awards last December. Then we got a little bit more and there was like things were going really, really well all the way up into like the whole, what was it? Xbox 2020.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden that's when I was like, yes, then we're going to get a show in May. We're going to get a show in June and July and everything looks great. We're going to have this amazing, like without E3, which we were all looking forward to, we're going to have like these pretty big shows coming all the way up into, you know, the fall and when we could buy these things. And I feel like that was kind of the point where things started to fall apart for Xbox a little bit. The promise of all those shows and then the missing of those shows. And then when they did have them, they were kind of hit or miss. Like I was excited to get what I got out of that as an Xbox fan. But I also think that they opened them up to like quite a bit of criticism as well. So they had this like giant open space, all the free space in the world to just like shout from the rooftops how great they were. And now that we know about the Series X, I also think that was a really smart way to do it was Series X, Series X, Series X, and like be super clear about what it is. It's the most powerful thing ever. And this is the inside of it and all the thing. And then later the Series S came out. It's like, okay, I understand that this is different because you've been talking about the other thing for all of these months. And then there's some other trip ups along the way, but I've really kind of, as an Xbox fan, I've just enjoyed them just like really being on the aggressive front. Finally.
Yeah.
Maybe that they actually have stuff to talk about now that they spent $7.5 billion in the last week or so. That is, you know, that's new developments. But yeah, there's with great voice and power and strength of your voice comes great responsibility. You got to back those things up. I think both sides have really made some pretty audacious claims that it's pretty easy to pick them apart, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think, in terms of the PlayStation side, it has not been a smooth time. I think this is where I'll concede ground immediately mm-hmm. to you, where I am absolutely jealous of how Xbox's social media team just able to talk, use that account by any means necessary. Like they'll tweet at 3 a.m. if they have to. Like Sony's very calculative. They'll usually tweet at 9 a.m. or 10, like between the hours of 9 and 12, and then generally not use that Twitter account for the rest of the day unless they absolutely have to. Xbox, there's a lot of personality behind it. You could kind of tell who's behind that Xbox account depending on the day.
Yeah.
They're talking to you. And even when it's the things you may not want to hear or the people you may not want to engage with, when they engage with them, it's always in a, like a disarming, voice and not so much like, you know, how could you leave us type of thing.
Was Xbox that like, did they start the whole, like now the hardware is a funny thing to meme kind of thing? Like, was there anything before that? Like when I think about like when they launched or revealed the Series X and it was a fridge. I'm trying to remember if there's anything before that. It seems like it's
they
all
just
the rage
it.
Now. And that's the thing. That's my point. I didn't mean to cut you off just for any reason. Like, I feel like that's when they realize like there's something here. Our basic bitch black box, like they're throwing it on the shoulder of Phil's face on Arnold's like body as Commando. Like, it's just incredible. So I feel like they identified that there was something happening and they wanted to be like part of that conversation instead of just like hoping that it continued on its own.
Yeah. And I think they've embraced internet culture in a way where like Sony, like when they showed off the PS5 and it looks like a router, everybody was kind of like quick to point out how silly it looks. And PlayStation's like, yeah, we know it's weird, but this is our artistic choice. And then like, bam, walked away. Where the Xbox is like, yeah, we'll put it up in a fridge. We'll put it up on a bookshelf. You won't even notice. Like it, yeah, I think communication on Xbox's part has been really, really great. I want to talk to you though about the games we've seen showcase wise.
You have enough time for all the games, Joe?
Not really. I just feel like your overview, like your synopsis of, you know, the Xbox showcase and then the launch games that were at this point, it's locked down what we're getting here. What do you feel about the launch lineup? And do you really think it's important?
For me, I like the games that are going to be coming around in November are honestly, they're available on both systems. And I kind of went on a rant on this on the Xbox Drive that like most of the games are the same on both systems. Like there's like this giant overlap where you're playing like the Watch Dogs, the Assassin's Creed, the Call of Duties, the Cyberpunks, all the games, like they're all the same. Right. So there's only a couple of differences. There's the Demon's Souls on the PlayStation side. And then there's like honestly, I'm like actually struggling to go like, this is what my day one actually looks like. There was like a couple of tweets that went by last week, of what day one looked like. And I'm like, fine enough for me. I'm going to be playing Assassin's Creed day one.
Yeah.
And I could be doing that if I were to get a PlayStation 5 as well. Am I disappointed about Halo not being there? Sure. But at the same time, like, I'm kind of glad it makes day one easier for me that I'm not like feeling like I should play Halo because like Halo is a big deal. But like, I love Assassin's Creed, man. I loved Odyssey. And then Cyberpunk is coming in right after that as well. So
Cyberpunk Game Pass game? What do you think?
Game Pass, Sean? Day one. Come on. You know what, man? They probably should have announced that like maybe just a little while ago, like before the pre-orders. I think the window's probably closed on that, man.
Yeah. For me, when it comes to like launch games, like showcase wise, I liked what I think this is where for me, Sony takes it. Where like each showcase, they show you reason why you, first off, they show you PS5 games, which it maybe it's just cause I'm outside the ecosystem, not seen much from the most powerful console, right?
Right. Like, yeah.
There's that's
what
games.
I mean. They've been making these big claims. 12 teraflops are telling you about why teraflops matter. And then they come out with like another system that has no teraflops. That's been a little bit awkward, but they seem to have navigated that pretty carefully. I think I'm actually a little bit surprised. Yeah. I'm very surprised. They seem like people were just kind of getting on top of the whole, like, but it's not as powerful as the 1X. And there's a whole, they don't play the 1X versions of games.
Yeah.
That will continue to be a thing, but it's hard to argue with that $299 price point. But back to you.
You really can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like for me, this is where I think Sony's messaging absolutely kills it, where they were very adamant where it's like, if you're showing a game, it has to be running on a PS5. The only game that hasn't was the Final Fantasy 16, but they showed you why you need to be excited for PlayStation, for the launch, then for the first year. And then they teased you stuff for the future, the mid, you know, generational stuff. So I think they've done a fine job there. Mm-hmm. But where their communication falls apart is when Jim Ryan starts talking. So like we believe in generations, people like myself eating that shit up going, yes, I want that. Then it not becoming the case. And then you see a lot of people, not myself, you know, backtrack going, it's fine. Where I'm just like, no, I kind of wanted it that way.
Yeah. That was a difficult day for a lot of people. I think that was you're either going to really be honest with yourself to say like, yeah, I was really repeating. I was regurgitating that. And I was buying into it and telling Xbox fans why that the other side of it was a terrible idea and why it's going to be holding things back and all of the things that people said. And that day when that came out and people were like, ooh, and they didn't like being told that they're full of shit.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like where I was really frustrated was like, you can't. At least from my perspective, I feel like you can't mouth off the entire year And then when, like, it turns out that that's actually based on a lie, you're going to have to eat some crow a little bit. Just like when Cyberpunk does not come to Game Pass, I'm not going to be like, well, you know what? Like, it was like maybe there's... No, it was, I was absolutely wrong. And there's a lot of different things that I'm sure that I've said about Xbox that haven't turned out to be absolutely true. And, like, I got to be, like, real about that. And I love this notion of, like, where's the energy for that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I kind of like that. It just kind of keeps you real on both sides of the argument.
Yeah. And so, like, I mean, I remember when we heard the news from Jim Ryan himself, and, like, you know, some of the Trophy Room community being disappointed, but it wasn't all like, all right, well, this thing sucks now. It's like, we're still wanting the hardware. It's just, there's blemishes here because for months you've been towing the line of, like, this is why the Series X isn't that big of a deal because it's being held back by prior generations. Mm-hmm. But we find at least for the first year, that's going to be the same.
Maybe even longer than Xbox.
What's that?
Maybe even longer than Xbox. And as it turns out, like with Horizon 2, like nobody knows when that's going to come out. It seemed like we got a lot of games in that one Xbox showcase where it's like, they weren't going to be on the one, which means that they're coming out for some time then. Sony proves that it's actually easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. It seemed like Xbox was like, I hope you guys are okay with this whole like cross thing. It's the polite thing to do. It's the generous thing to do, but it's sort of against what everybody's used to. So I hope you're okay with it. And people, at least on one side, were like, we're not okay with this. And you're stupid for thinking that. And that things have worked this way forever. And they will continue to work this way forever. And then you go, ooh. Actually, it's a really good idea, this whole cross-generational thing and this whole maybe exclusives can go on PC and it doesn't destroy the entire planet. Like, gravity doesn't, like, implode on itself and just destroy everything. There's physics that allow for that to happen as well.
And then when you're a Sony, like, fan, you have to come to grips with, like, remember, the PlayStation 4 has sold, what, we're getting close to 120 million units?
Yeah, you guys are good.
Yeah, that's really good. You want to keep those people happy for a bit of time at the very least. Mm-hmm. It's just when, like, let's just say, you know, Jim Ryan says, oh, and, you know, fuck it, in 2 years, we're going to end support. Or like most first party games won't be running on PS4. Well, then how can I believe you, Jim? Because, you know, you've just stated that you believed in generations. Now all of a sudden you don't. You said something along the lines of, what was it? It was usually when talked about the Series S.
Oh, the lower power systems. There's not a lot of success historically with lower powered systems.
It's like, have I shown you the 3DS, the PS2, the PS1, the Wii? Like, it's those comments. So I think in the games front, I'm still very excited for PlayStation 5. Like, knowing that I have it unlocked directly through PlayStation, I'm super pumped for this console. I just don't like the wrapper that it's presented in.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
A poopy wrapper?
Yeah,
like a toilet paper wrap is like a mummy that's being wrapped up in.
And you know what's surprising to me? And I want to know, because you have the pulse of the Xbox community, it seems. When it comes to the PlayStation community, when I'm like, so everybody's getting the digital, right? Physical, it's at an end. Let's go. So many people are like, nah, physical. I'm like, what? Like, it's to me, from what I've seen, it's like a 7-3 ratio of like people wanting that physical, like discs still. And for me, I'm just like, no, give me that digital life. What about you? Like, how are people perceiving the Series S, the cheaper digital?
I think, well, I think that the fact that it's like $200 cheaper makes it a bit more of a no-brainer for a lot of people. And I'm seeing a lot of people like cross over, which is, it's just so, I feel like this is such a smart way to do things, where when you think about it, you have to kind of compare it to the launch of the One, right? Where they were trying to go after the everyday person rather than going after the hardcore gamer. And at launch time, you go after the hardcore gamer. You'll get to everybody else. But you kind of, and Nintendo did this by launching with Zelda. They have like this console for everybody, but the game that they were launching with was for hardcore gamers. So they won everybody over in that first couple months to get like the early adopters who are insane and will pay top dollar to get it on day one. Anybody with half a brain, like all of us, know that in like 6 months, this thing is going to be $50 cheaper. At the very least, it'll include a game. Like, you're going to get better value 6 to 8 months down the road. And so Xbox comes into this with one option for the people who are hardcore, and they'll pay for $4.99 for a thing. And then there's the option for the people who aren't that at launch time. And I feel like that's like this really smart way. If they were only to do one or the other, they would never win. If they were only to do the Series X, they wouldn't keep up with PlayStation, because like the majority of hardcore people are like, they'll be PlayStation. That's just the way this generation has gone. And I would anticipate it would carry over into the next one. But where the untapped audience is that like blue ocean strategy. So they're like, well, we can do that at launch too with the Series S. And it doesn't come with a disc drive. So completely different strategy. And I'm seeing a bit of a mix between people. And it definitely had me at $2.99. It had me thinking, maybe I don't need a Series X.
But I'm still like thinking that too. I have not, and we'll talk about pre-order fiasco in a sec, but like, I haven't had my Xbox Series X pre-order. So like, I'm still like, okay, do I really need it? Cause like, my Xbox, I have not put a physical disc in that thing since the original launch of Sea of Thieves. I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been a minute. So like, I'm like, do I really need all that power? I don't know.
So for me, it'd be more for backcompat though. And that's where like PlayStation is maybe in a different space, or like it's sort of almost conditioned its audience to just not care about backcompat. And they've also got a really elegant solution that we'll get to as well with the PlayStation Plus collection. I think that's brilliant.
I thought you were alluding to the Spider-Man bullshit.
Oh God. No, I mean, like that's the thing. It's just like, oh, it feels very Nintendo in that way, where the PlayStation Plus collection, I think is that what it's called, right? The PS4, whatever. Yes. The 15, 20 the games that are coming. Really awesome. Like, it worked with the Vita, at least in my mind. I think that was awesome. I have a bunch of physical discs for PlayStation. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm in a tough spot where I go, like, we'll eventually get one, just not day one, but I want some of those, like, physical games to be able to work, but it's my second console, right? So why would I, like, I'm going to be paying $100 more for my second console where there is a cheaper option. So I'm in kind of a tricky spot on that front.
For me, like, in terms of backwards compatibility, I feel like a lot of the PlayStation audience, we don't understand smart delivery. And the reason why we don't is because it's not our ecosystem. So when they're just like, oh yeah, we're going to, you know, 99% of the PlayStation 4 games will work on your PS5. We're just like, all right, cool. I'm cool with this. And then they're like, yeah. And, you know, if developers want, they can upgrade their games, to PS5, and they have the option of charging you for that or not. It's up to them. And we're like, cool, fine. And when we see, like, you know, the games that I hate to say, like, actually matter, but like, that they have these huge audiences, like Fortnite or Rainbow Six, Call of Duty for a little bit, just go, we're just give you the upgrade of these games. Like,
yeah,
that's where I think that smart delivery really matters, is in those major cross-generational games, your Destinies. But like, when it comes to like most games, it really is just like, cool, I'm able to play it. That's what we care about. But the one thing I want to say about to the Xbox side is, I think you're all being tricked and fooled, because I think you all think that they're launching the Series S and the Series X. They are, these, and the consoles are going to be great and all, but I think their main focus this whole entire time is selling you on Game Pass.
Sure.
What this is the first actual, the actual bringing this out to everyone, unveiling what Game Pass is to the broader market. Mm-hmm. And so like, seeing every single game at that Xbox showcase going, also on Game Pass, also on Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass. You know, it goes to show that I think Microsoft's broader vision is not about these consoles. They're so over it. Instead, they're just like, where can we put this Game Pass thing? How can we be Netflix? Yeah. And that's what they're seeing, is that they could catapult Xbox in a sense to a Netflix like status just by simply pushing Game Pass everywhere. And like, you're seeing it on Android, you're seeing it on Samsung TVs, but like, and you're seeing it with these consoles. They're trying to push that service towards everyone. And I think there is so much value there that's unignorable. And now, let's just get into this one.
Yeah, man.
Bethesda. You guys bought Bethesda.
Bethesda. That's insane, man. Okay, so before we even really get into that, if you guys haven't checked out the interview with Larry Herb, who's Major Nelson, he had Phil Spencer, P. Hines, and then Todd Howard all together on the same Zoom call or whatever. Great moment, you know, really just kind of like some really, you know, bunch of older white dudes kind of getting together talking about it. Look how amazing we're doing. Yeah. But seriously, I think it's about 8 minutes and 20 seconds, give or take, into the interview when Todd Howard starts to go like, yeah, we've been having a really great relationship with Xbox, you know, all the way back to when we did, it was Morrowind back on the original Xbox. Mm-hmm. And somebody came around the corner and told us, did you know that you can reboot the Xbox without anybody knowing this? Did you hear this story?
Yeah.
You can reboot the Xbox without anybody, so you can have the game playing. Or in their case, they would, if you're running low on memory, they threw up kind of like a loading screen and they would reboot the system and then you'd kind of go back into your game. And it's like, just what a crazy relationship they've had and what an awesome moment for them to kind of go to reveal the secret all these years later. Like, you guys had no idea that's us. Yeah. That's what we did. I think it's a huge, it's massive, dude. It's absolutely massive.
This changes everything.
Kind
of. $7.4 billion?
Yeah.
Dollars?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bethesda.
Yeah, chump change. Okay, so this is the whole, like, I know people like to joke about my prediction that Cyberpunk is going to come into Game Pass, and everybody told me, like, that's going to cost too much money. They, $7.5 billion with a B. I don't think we really understand. I think if you were to ask somebody, like, how many zeros in billion, it would take somebody a couple seconds to at least figure that out. You know, like, it's an incomprehensible kind of number. It's ridiculous.
And it's also one of the most... I think it's the one of the most expensive buyouts ever.
Yeah, I think there's only one bigger, but there's three Minecrafts in there. It's like two of the Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, this number is insane to me. And all of the IP that, like, I grew up with, this is going to hit with people a little bit differently. But, like, Wolfenstein, Doom, Quake were, like, massive. They were the only thing maybe right along with that was Unreal for me. I'm playing on PC back in the day. And then... like, I love Fallout 3. Didn't like Fallout 4 as much as maybe Chelsea, my wife. She's platinumed it, for God's sakes. Yeah, and we have it on PlayStation 4, even though they got a better relationship over on Xbox. It's a massive buy. The one thing I'm just kind of, like, waiting for PlayStation people to say, like, well, Bethesda hasn't made a real good game in probably, like, 7 years. And it's like, I don't think that I agree with that. I feel like Doom Eternal and the original Doom, like, those happen both on this generation. Really phenomenal. I feel like between Doom and Wolfenstein, they've really laid the groundwork and the playbook on how to reimagine an old kind of dying IP. Maybe the only other comparable there is Tomb Raider, where they took something that was old and they're like, it's fresh and new and cool, and God of War as well. Like, we had actually quite a lot of that this generation. And now... that they kind of, like, buy that up into the Microsoft system. But what do you think about the Monopoly conversation that's happening?
So, okay, here's where I get in the Bernie Bang bus. All right, everybody, nobody gets off until we're all getting off. So I think overall, this is a great move for Xbox. And I think it immediately changes the narrative that Xbox has no games. Cause now all
it has
of
no
a sudden,
first part, or, I'm sorry, single player games too.
Yeah.
Like, the whole everything is a game as a service and everything like that. Now they've got RPGs, games you spend like 80 hours into.
Changes my narrative of what I've seen Game Pass as. And that's why I'm like, oh shit, now they are serious about this. In tackling it in a Netflix really like way of like, here are movies, here are your bingeable shows, here's your Office and Parks and Rec, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it changes that narrative completely. And seeing now 23 studios working at Xbox really does drive home this point of they are really wanting a game almost every quarter, it seems. Like, I feel like they want at least 4 games a year that's on Game Pass, or you're staying there in that ecosystem. First party games.
At least.
You're staying in that ecosystem. Yeah, at the very least. So for me, I take a look at that acquisition. I'm like, this makes so much sense in so many ways, because now you have a third party publisher, which they have said, like, they view it as a partnership, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And they even talked about it as partnership, not acquisition during that one interview that they were doing. So, like, it's interesting to me that now they have these good studios that are capable of making great games that may or may not have to be as tied down to how many units have you sold?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so with Game Pass, it's a huge bet by saying, okay, we want this library on this. Oh my God, something just flew in front of me. Oh, it's gross. I don't know what it is. I got it.
It's the dude fighting for Stadia. Just flew in front of you. Flicked him away.
Wait, Stadia! We're here!
I have to say something.
YouTube integration.
But for me, and so I think this is great. And now you can actually have this conversation. I was listening kind of funny today of so who actually has the better first party lineup? Sony or Microsoft? Mm-hmm. You can actually have that conversation for the first time ever. For me, it's still Sony. I love those first party games, man. For the most part, they have not struck out for me. They've been hitting home runs since 2015 for me.
Yeah.
Talking about Bethesda, yeah, they've been on some type of shaky ground where the games aren't resonating as they thought they would. Mm-hmm. Certain games just outright flopping, certain games not doing as well as they should.
Yeah, the latest Wolfenstein is a good example. Like Youngblood didn't really hit. Any of the Arcane stuff is really interesting, which is also kind of I see people really excited about it. And this isn't just I've been kind of going the entire time before I realized it was an exclusive over in PlayStation land. I've just never really I appreciate what Arcane is doing. It just never quite clicked with me. And I think it's mostly I just don't really do stealth, or if there's multiple ways to approach a situation, but there's one way it seems like they're trying to get you to play.
Yeah.
And if you play another way, it feels like you're doing it wrong. It feels like you're failing. That's how I've been kind of contacted and connected with the Arcane game. So that one, that's probably one of the studios of the acquisition that I've kind of the least excited about. I know they do kind of wacky stuff, but I don't know. I'm also curious about this Roundabout or Roundhouse studio.
I just say Roadhouse because it sounds good.
Nice. Just make up a new name.
Whatever. I love it. So it's a great fit for them. Yeah. I do get worried. Here's where we're back on the bus of okay, this is fine right here. I'm fine with this. But if you just go, hey, gang, part of me, the PlayStation fan, feels like we've been picking on this dork for, seven plus years now. Yeah. And then we find out that his dad is my dad's boss and he can have him fired whenever he wants. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's now you have to hang out with Jimmy. You hear this? Daddy's job's on the line. They are the rich kid with the credit card and they're just swiping wherever they feel like because they have that power. We talked about it on the trophy room. PlayStation's doing some of the best they've done in a very long time. Last year, they made $8 billion. Yeah. Think about that. Microsoft just bought Bethesda for $7.4 billion. And they've made these, over a dozen acquisitions in the past, 2 years. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with this acquisition. But if I start seeing more, then I'm just okay. I get it that you needed to buy the legacy.
Do you mean more at that scale or more period? If they were to buy, I'm trying to think of another, if they were to buy CD Projekt Red, is that too much?
You and Kyle on the same point. Not CD Projekt.
I agree. I know that's kind of what your answer would be. So to establish that as a point in the conversation to go up, at what point
you're
you
so
go,
smart.
What's the threshold where it's that's too much.
We were hearing Sega and I was just whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. Slow your roll. This is getting a little out of hand.
Is that crazy? Is that too much?
Yes. To me, tomorrow they're just guess what we just bought? Ubisoft. I'm just okay.
See, stop. That's for me. I agree with you. Ubisoft, EA, Take Two or 2K or whatever it is. Those are the giant ones. Sega, I feel is, or even Square Enix. What about Square? Those are two really PlayStation friendly kind of studios there. From software as well.
And I think they're owned by a company I can't pronounce or else I'd be canceled immediately.
Sure.
But I don't think they're, up for grabs. Per se, because I think the parent company is a company that owns Crunchyroll. So I'm do they want another subscription service on top? Anyway, to me, Sega, I don't want it just to be. So we made this footprint because we bought ourselves in. To me, it's I want your footprint in here because you fought for it and you earned it, not because you just bought it. That's where I'm at. Give me the good fight. Don't it's the steroids type of thing. That's my get as a PlayStation fan. I also think, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, but Bethesda, I think for the most part, probably going to stay multiplat. From what I've heard, Bethesda Softworks is less we're remaining multiplat. It's whatever Todd Howard wants. It's what goes. Yeah. And I think it's really the smaller IPs and the new IPs that come out that will be exclusive to Xbox.
But Joe, I thought that when you have to program a game for multiple consoles, that it's actually holding it back, that you can get more out of your console if you just focus on a single ecosystem or a single architecture of games. I thought that that's what was core to making games great, was not having them on other systems, that the games can actually be better if they're not on other systems. I heard.
I think we have to take all those narratives that we've heard or we've put belief into, kind of just throw them out the window for a little bit here and to just say, just like real talk, like, cause like we like to pretend and cause this whole thing is kind of like, all right, Joe, you need to reevaluate the way I think about games, because to me, I'm just like, you know, I read a Jeff Grubb article talking about the volatility in AAA games and how one dud could spell the end for a big AAA powerhouse.
Yeah.
And Bethesda kind of walking a very thin line for a little bit. So for me, I know games are only getting more expensive to make. And if you own 23 plus studios, you kind of want to make your cash anywhere you could or anywhere you can. So like I take a look at Minecraft.
Right.
And what they do over there. And then also their smaller IP that they've partnered with, like your Cupheads or your Moon Studios, and seeing them and just kind of letting them do what they want for a little bit. That's what I kind of see with Microsoft, where it's just like, you know, you have a huge audience with Elder Scrolls on other platforms. You know, you have huge audiences with Fallout on other platforms. You know that those are huge IP.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just like here it is on the PlayStation, $70, $15, and right then and there you have people just navigating to that one section. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you take a look at Netflix. Like Netflix sells like CD box sets of Stranger Things. They put their movies in movie theaters. Like they still do some of those things. So or still work with old media. So I don't think they're gonna throw the baby out with the bathwater in terms of like those big AAA games. Also, if they did, that it's theirs now. They do whatever mm-hmm. they want. But you know, I think at the end of the day, it's where the money is, and they, not to say want to recoup that loss, but they want to make as much money as they can on these IP, on merchandising, on DLC, on whatever have you. So to me, I don't think they're, you know, everything.
I mean, I
exclusive.
Guess so, but like, I mean, that really kind of forces the whole conversation on the exclusives even to begin with. Like, why doesn't Sony put a God of War on an Xbox? You know what I mean? Because like, it would sell well there. Like, that's kind of the exact same argument, only that it was homegrown by PlayStation there. You know, like that argument can be flipped to the other side, and it's just like, well, like I believe in the, I don't think that the whole, I don't agree with the narrative that is growing some steam that exclusives are stupid and like that. I think they're not stupid, not even a little bit. I think exclusives mm-hmm. absolutely matter. And as the more we try to say that they don't, like we're just kind of like, all right, bury your head in the sand. It's clearly what matters for Nintendo, the exclusives that you things that you can only play there because it's not power, you know, it's games you can only experience there. And it's also the identity. And if I were to say, if I were like to put on my PlayStation hat, because by the way, I bought 4 PlayStations this generation. Yeah. I have a Vita. I've got, you know, like I've spent.
What you're saying is you're a fake fan.
I'm a totally fake fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. I'm actually a PlayStation. I was trying out for the trophy room before it was even called the trophy room.
It's true. That's a podcast made by the players for the players. Those of you who don't know, you know,
I went on for so long. I think my point was going to be that the one thing that Sony continues to have because it's homegrown and because it's not buying up these guys, that and the other, is Sony continues to have that identity of first party. When you think first party, for better or for worse, you're thinking third person, over the shoulder, action adventure, narrative driven type of experience. Even though they have other exclusives, that's kind of what you think. It's the Naughty Dog. It's the, you know, Santa Monica, that type of thing.
Yeah.
When you think of exclusive in Xbox land, like, even though they just spent $7.5 billion, you think Forza, Gears, Halo. So I feel like if for maybe no other reason, you kind of want to expand that narrative that people just, even though they spend all this money, almost $10 billion, people will still go, they might still struggle to go, what are the first party games? What are the exclusives over on Xbox? And they've got to change that narrative. Even because I was even in your Discord where there's still people going like, I'd rather pay, what is it, $70 now, $80 in the States for new games. Even though I could get it on Game Pass over there, I'll still buy it on PlayStation, which even for a, like, so they get, what is it, $70? So they get like 70% of whatever the sale is on a PlayStation game. That's still not winning compared to holding it hostage in Game Pass and going, you're going to pay me $280 a year over here for all these games instead of piecemealing our crap over there.
I think that's a terrific point. And I think to me, like, maybe a part of me saying that is like, I want them still on PlayStation. But another part of me is like, Bethesda's not my publishing house. So like, I don't really have a horse in the race. I'm just thinking of like, oh, you're showing the Vita. I was like, where did he go? Did he drop something?
I've got it like, right here. The Vita is so close. It's right here, man.
When I'm thinking Xbox though, I'm thinking value. Like, that's right. When I'm thinking Game Pass, I'm thinking of the countless games I could play on that service that gravitate me to that ecosystem. So, like, I'm not really thinking Halo. I'm thinking, what is it now? Like, 200 plus games.
Right.
On that service that I give a shit about. I'm thinking of Bethesda. I'm thinking of, you know, I'm thinking of Fallout. I'm thinking of Elder Scrolls now. I'm thinking of Halo. I am thinking of Gears, you know, Forza. The list goes on, right? And I think there is credence to that. I just think the way that video games, the growth in which the money it takes to actually make games is going up so exponentially, is that one revenue stream that is Game Pass, is that absolutely sustainable for here and now?
Sure. I've heard this. I've heard people talk about this as well. And I'm so glad that you brought it up because one of my specialties in just my professional life is recurring revenue. It's the subscription model.
Oh, shit. So you're going to own my ass right now. Let's do it.
I mean, a little bit. Like, so you don't really want to go, you don't want to put all your eggs into, even though Sony's got all these exclusives, like you could have a Days Gone. Well, I guess Days Gone actually sold pretty well. Is there an exclusive that didn't sell well? Actually, maybe the argument is better on Xbox Live. Maybe this is why they did it. They've got exclusives like Quantum Break, right? Yeah. This is going to move units. We're going to like have it at the top of the list. It's going to get our shining moment at E3 stuff, and it completely bombs. And it's like, that was supposed to pay the bills. That was supposed to keep the lights on. That was supposed to keep Lionhead around. Those were supposed to keep some of these studios around. So when you're putting all these risks in these individual studios for these individual games and they miss, then it's all over. But what the recurring revenue allows you to do is just like have this reliable source of money that everybody's just like, you just take it, just have it. And then you can invest however you want because you've just got like this constant flow of money that you can, like, unless something explodes and everybody cancels Game Pass all at the exact same time, you can pretty reliably predict what your revenue source is going to be. If you're just dropping games and you're kind of like, okay, well, The Last of Us is going to drop on this date and I hope that it does really well, you can probably rely on that one. But maybe a new IP or something that doesn't do, you don't know, it's very, very risky. So to invest all this money, it's a big loss at the start. But like I said, when people sign up for that type of service, they're going to be around for years and years and years and will become profitable in probably about a year or so.
Oh, the fuck it. Bethesda's exclusive. You sold me on it. You know what? In my head, this is the reason why I almost chuckled. I thought of the Office scene where Michael starts his own paper company, but like they find out that it's actually his success is tanking his company. And so like you're the auditor. You're telling me that like the plan doesn't work out. And I'm just like, just crunch it. Crunch the numbers. That totally makes sense. Yeah.
Here's the other side of it though, is especially when you think about it in the Netflix way. I'm a movie fan. I spent, you know, way too much money buying all the movies on Blu-ray. I was the guy who was like, even though Netflix is out and it's super convenient and it's cheap and it's like, you know, it's easy to do, you almost like you almost accidentally sign up for Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, how did this happen? I don't even know how long I've been with Netflix at this point. I've been feeding them all this money. I don't even know how much it is. I feel like I did it by accident. But I was the type of person who went like, Blu-ray looks better. It sounds better. They have
one of these people.
Different movies. I was. But, and I still feel that way. I still think that way, but I'm not acting that way. I'm not buying Blu-rays anymore. Like, it's been years since I went out and bought a Blu-ray, even though there are movies that are only available on Blu-ray.
even though that experience is better, and I, when I think about that, like, I identify that as a better experience, and the analog I'm creating here is Sony, where people will identify Sony games are better. The Naughty Dogs is better. The God of War is better. But god damn, it's a pain in the ass to go get those games. I could just, like, accidentally have Game Pass and play things over there.
Yeah.
You really got to go out of your way to spend that $70 on those exclusive games. So I feel like that will wear away. I know. So that's the thing. Like, and that was me for a little while. Like, I would spend my $30 on a new Blu-ray. Like, the day the movie came out, I'm like, I want that movie. But it starts to, and you hear it in podcasters every once in a while. Like, I mean, that Game Pass, that looks pretty good. And you start to say that over and over and over. And eventually you kind of sign up and go like, I'm spending a little bit more time here. And it's this behavioral change that happens that takes a long time. And it takes a lot of money to change somebody's behavior, or their opinions is one thing, but to change their behavior, what they actually do, that takes $7.5 billion. You know what I mean? At a time. That's crazy to really disrupt the industry.
And I think they did it. I know Donnie Reese over at PSVG, over at the Xbox Empire, he was just like, this is the biggest week Xbox has ever had.
I
agree absolutely.
Since coming out?
10%. I think this completely changes the narrative of this console war. It definitely has people thinking, okay, holy shit, this maybe this Game Pass thing really
Maybe Cyberpunk is possible. Maybe they got some leftover change. Maybe they got a Costco bulk deal.
But I think at the end of the day, getting back to PlayStation, I think going back to something you said is, it is about the legacy. It is about the connection we have with these plastic boxes, and that goes along with games where, look, Sony, Jim Ryan will say something super dumb, but then they'll make The Last of Us, or then they'll make Ghost of Tsushima, right? They'll make Bloodborne the game of the generation. These games that are genre defining and, or, you know, really pushing that genre forward in various aspects. And I think that's why, for me, it is about the games. And so, like, when I take a look at PlayStation, or when I even take a look at Xbox, I go, you're my Game Pass machine. You are for the games that, you know, I not to say, like, I wouldn't go out there and spend $60 on, but, like, okay, like, if you're giving me three games a year that I'm going to play for a month or two, cool. And I paid $60 ish for that, you know, experience, or 120, whatever the money is. I don't care. Spend it. Fine. Exactly. I'm there.
But for me, it's just a dollar. That's what everybody signs up for.
It's just a dollar. It's literally just a dollar. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I take a look at my PlayStation, it is about the experiences that I've gotten this generation that I haven't gotten anywhere else. It is the God of Wars. It is the Bloodborne's. It is the Uncharted. It is the Last of Us. The list goes on. And so, like, for me, Ghost of Tsushima is still my game of the year. Like, when I take a look at my top 10 games this generation, the majority of them are PlayStation games.
Yeah.
And just a, like, little inside look here, I'm a multi-platform gamer. I scam people by saying I host a PlayStation show. I'll play anything controller in my hand. So, like, for me, I was taken aback because when I was a kid, I used to always shit on Sony all the time. I was a big Halo boy. But, like, now this generation, it's just like, yeah, no, how much is Spider-Man Miles Morales? Okay, cool. I'm there. Like, how much is Demon's Souls? Cool. I'm there, because they have not right now failed me. But where they are worrying me is messaging. And I think, let's talk, and maybe this could be the last topic. I don't even know how long we've run, but
okay.
Oh yeah.
45 minutes or so. Yeah, I think so.
God damn.
Yeah. Covered a lot of ground. Spider-Man.
How we play our games. Smart delivery. Spider-Man comes out, right? Swings on in. We're all impressed. Then we get notified that this game's actually also on PS4. We get a little bummed out.
Yep. Then I'm great with it.
You're great. At this point, whatever. Just give me the Into the Spider-Verse outfit. I'm fine. That is all I need in my life.
Which, by the way, I want to put it out there. Platinum Spider-Man. You know, the X-Bot that I am. Platinum Spider-Man. But whatever.
Take that.
Finish The Last of Us in a weekend. Whatever. But I hate PlayStation.
Don't like to brag.
Yeah, exactly. But I, yeah. I can't talk about PlayStation one way or another.
The cool thing, I feel like we've talked a lot about Xbox so far, and I think that's telling for this generation coming, but they talk about smart delivery. They talk about your games, you know, they'll make your old games look better. I can't wait to actually see that. A lot of people so far impressed with it. And then we take a look at the PlayStation side, and they're just like, yeah, no, we're just giving you the PS4 versions. Yeah. And this PS5 version, or we'll upgrade you to the PS5 version if you bought, like, for example, Spider-Man, but it's few and far between.
Right.
That said, Miles Morales, if you wanted to play Spider-Man, the 2018 game, that's just going to run 2018. Now, what they're trying to upsell you is Spider-Man Remaster, which is effectively $20, totally redone models, lighting, I guess more puddles. And a lot of gamers are just like, wait. Here's where it really gets confusing. So, like, if you're confused, I think it may be purposeful. But if you buy Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS4, you will get upgraded to the PS5 when you buy a PS5.
For Miles Morales. Okay.
But your Spider-Man that you bought in 2018, that there is a PS5 version of, you will not get that upgrade. It's just playing
the PS4 version.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you want that PS5 upgrade, pay $20. Effectively. via Miles Morales.
Yeah.
That is scummy.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I see a lot of PlayStation folks defend it. Last night on the Trophy Room, Kyle and I think it's because there were bigger things happening in the world that we were kind of just like, listen, dude, it's a video game. Like, you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's just like 2020 is a shit show. Mm-hmm. But thinking back on it, there's no way, like, you can show me. Man, it could be 4D they're giving me. My eyes will explode out of my head. But, like, even then, I'm just like, this should be just upgraded.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Spider-Man debacle?
Well, I think there's a lot of, like, just historical, traditional ways of moving from one generation to the next that they're latching onto. And it just feels old, I think, at this point. And smart delivery is something that has existed since the 1X came out. And I've kind of commented on this a couple of times. If you open up that 1X, it doesn't look anything like the 1S or the original one. Like, for all intents and purposes, it's a new generation. They just kind of called it this generation. It's way more powerful. It's 4K. It's got freaking, like, liquid cooling in there and everything.
Yep.
That version, whenever you buy a game, it installed a different version of the game than the first one. So we've been used to this, and the only reason that we look at the Miles Morales and the Spider-Man situation is kind of scummy is because Microsoft changed the expectation. Prior to that, it would have been like, probably should pay $20 for this next version. It probably should. And people probably will, is kind of the thing that has been striking me with both Sony and Nintendo, is like counting on fans to just go, well, I don't feel like I have a choice. And that's the monopoly type of situation. When you buy a property or buy exclusivity to something and own it, and you don't give the audience a good option where there is objectively a better option and a better delivery system somewhere else, that's sort of like the problem that you get into with exclusivity. That's really my only issue is with exclusivity, is when you own it and then go, and we are going to fuck you over with this. You can only buy Mario 6 or Mario 3D All-Stars between this date and March 31st because we said so, because I'm your dad. That's not a fun place to be as a gamer. That's right. Like, they're hot and they know it. And that, like, when you're a runner-up or, like, in third place as Xbox fans, you don't like that. You want to go, like, I see you, like, you're beautiful because of how you treat me, not because you're super hot and you know it and you strut around the hallways. It's gross, man.
I see Mario walking around with those cut-off jeans and booty shorts.
And Rosalina.
He's driving me wild with that mustache.
Seriously.
that little plumber
time
blood.
For a mustache, a little Mario mustache ride. That's what I think people, I don't know necessarily how they, how that manifests in the market. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like how, because most people just buy it because they don't feel like they have a choice. And I feel like it does take this $7.5 billion move to break people free of that. You don't have to just buy that. You don't have to feel like you don't have a choice, because it might not be Spider-Man, but there's other things happening somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's that forced. That's just what I don't like. Is that forced? And that's what killed Xbox with the One. Was yeah. Here is our vision of how you should play video games, and people crucified them for that. And PlayStation is just so popular over these last couple of years. They really took advantage of that to the point now where they can take a few hits. Mm-hmm. And you would think that after the 360 that Microsoft could have withstood that a little bit as well, but they just didn't, man. This is how you share a game. That was it. It was kind of over at that point.
And like I see Jace's comment, but we're just assuming it won't be available otherwise. Insomniac has straight up said that it will not be available otherwise. Like there's a upgrade path if you have Miles Morales on PS5. So like essentially if you didn't want Miles Morales, and you have your PS4 Spider-Man, no way you could buy it. You have mm-hmm. to spend that money to get that version yeah. of your game. So it's removing an option, and it's annoying. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to get into the weeds of it, but like, I think you're 110% right, where like at the end of the day, we're taking a look at,
it means a Mario collection. And that's fair. So if it's not yeah. available after March 31st, then that's even worse.
Yeah.
If they tell you that it's only limited to this point and they go, actually, it's still available, then it's a double fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think like when it comes to the IP that is Spider-Man, what I thought was going to be a PS5 exclusive. And then when I take a look at it in my head after they announce, I'm like, actually makes sense. Cause like that deal, if Miles Morales was a PS5 exclusive, only benefits Sony. Marvel needs mm-hmm. them as they need a reason to, you know, sell this game, you know, to allow Sony to keep making this bad boy. So
mm-hmm.
I it made sense. That said, this upgrade path is that slippery slope, just like I talked about earlier with Microsoft, of like, okay, now he spent this money. Can we spend another, get another publisher? This is the same thing here of just like, okay, so it worked with Spider-Man. Will it work with Bloodborne? Will it work with this game,
right.
that game? Remaster this game. Give you that, like, it worked this generation with all the remasters, remakes that they put out. Excuse me. People will gladly go out there and pay for the nostalgia. And it is this uncomfortable fact that I think when we get on these pedestals and as creators or gamers or whatever, and we're just like, this isn't right, this is stupid, and I hate this, whether it's microtransactions, loot boxes, or these remakes, the casual market will dictate that, not us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter That's how fair. Much we kick and scream. It's until Johnny that buys two or three games a year, he's going to dictate where Sony goes, mm-hmm. where that money's valued. So like for me, I'm just like, yeah, we can kick and scream all we want, but real talk, as much as I hate this, guess what? Bloodborne remaster comes out, buying it.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's the thing, is that everybody's going to have their game where it's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, and that I learned that lesson like back in the early goings of the Xbox One generation, where there was a lot of this, like remasters seemed like every other game was a 360 game remastered HD version, which was hilarious because I thought the previous, you know, generation was actually called HD, but that's a whole other story. And then I think it was Ryan McCaffrey who kind of said he was really just railing on it game after game after game until I think maybe they were talking about, I don't even know what it was. It was something that really resonated with him. And he was like, oh, I want this one. And then it was that realization that if you multiply that experience across all gamers, then you're going to have like some noise that happens when somebody goes, they see a remaster and they want it. So that kind of makes it okay in like en masse, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, but to like hold a hostage for like between one console to the next, like it almost makes the control situation seem better.
Yeah.
Where Sony is like you could make this better for your players. For control, it's like, it's not really, it's maybe a little bit more complicated for them, but it's like, it's your console. It could be better. And this is just Xbox kind of like changing that narrative of games that games. If you play a original Xbox game on an Xbox One X, it looks ridiculous. It looks way better. And it's just like, they didn't even do anything to the game.
We're like, what, 40, 50 minutes in and into this Console Wars podcast. I have not told you to go to hell yet.
I know. What the heck?
What is this? We're having civil conversations.
We're probably supposed to like not be friends by now.
I know, dude. I'm supposed to hate you. Shit.
I know. Damn. We forgot. Yeah. Huh. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
What's the thing that like really, I wanted to kind of like go to, like, is there something that like Xbox has done that's really like pissed you off?
That's a great question. I think Microsoft has acted like the market leader this whole year when they're technically not. And they've changed expectations. Like a lot of PlayStation fans are like, yeah, we don't care if we have like built-in ray tracing to Bloodborne or whatever. Like, we don't care about the up-res or like the true 4K. Like, we're just happy we play our PlayStation 4 games on this console. So we're fine.
Right.
We don't need PS3. We don't really need PS2. We don't really need PS1. We really want the current-ish thing to keep us busy while we wait for the latest and greatest. And then we get to this mark, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, I understand it. Like, Kyle's like, well, they're giving me new assets. Like,
right.
And that's it. And like,
yeah.
So it's, it's the expectation. Because
that's how it's always been.
What's that?
Because that's how it's always been. So I was just trying to like give you a chance to cough and clear your throat.
You saved my life. Don't worry about it. So for me, it is about like Xbox. I feel like here's where I feel. Xbox fans are like, we've done so much. Can you just acknowledge us?
Pretty much. Like, yeah. I feel so validated. That's how I feel, Joe. That's how I feel.
Like, they're just like, dude, because of Microsoft, we have crossplay. Because of Microsoft, we have Game Pass. Because of Microsoft, we have all these pro consumer things. That
you have half price on your PS Now, by the way.
Yeah. And then like PlayStation fans are like, okay. And they're like, what? But like, why? Like,
well, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, oh, all right. Yeah, they're like, but like, they're not getting that validation because PlayStation fans don't care. And I can't stress this enough. It's like, you're happy right now. Be happy about your console. You don't need to convince anybody else of why they should be excited for your thing. Just champion your thing, or not really champion it, celebrate it, right? Yeah. Like celebrate those victories. Celebrate your Bethesdas. Celebrate every time Phil gets on it and he looks very beautiful.
Seriously. Like, can you imagine doing what he'd done and look like? I would look like an absolute bag of assholes, smashed assholes. And I would look terrible. If I have like one rough night of sleep, I look like hell. Yeah. And what he's done, he probably hasn't slept in like 5 years. He really took over and he's very, very handsome. Man. Yeah, it's definitely like the, and this is where these long form conversations don't end up with us going like, well, screw you. I hate your guts. It's because we're able to separate like the fandom from the moves. Like, of course I want people to go celebrate the games that they love to play.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to be commenting on the claims that they make or the stances or the opinions that they have about those things. It's not that I'm just like blindly hating on PlayStation. I got called out for like using the term like ponies. I'm talking about a very specific set of people who are so irrational in their opinions. And I'm like, I'm going to call that out. And I'm not, by me calling out what Sony is doing, I'm not saying you're dumb for liking Sony. But we've smashed those two things together so automatically that if somebody calls somebody else out for their opinion about a thing, the Switch or PS5 or whatever it is, then they're linking my comment about the topic to you being either like good or bad for liking the platform that it's attached to. There's too much connection. That's not what anybody is saying.
I think there's too much generalizations of right. things. Right? Like we generalize because we see those comments like the whole pony thing, right? Like, yeah, you don't mean me, but you mean the people that make those stupid videos of like, so PlayStation 5 came out. Is the Xbox dead? Like, you know, like those dumb idiots. Like, the Xbox has a hard drive. Does that mean Jim Ryan's an alien? Like, it's just like, to me, I sometimes want to shake you though, Sean, because I'm just like, just ignore those people. They don't matter. Like, I don't care. Sometimes, they get to you, but like, I'm just like, don't care. You're not my ecosystem. I don't need to prove you anything. I'm a grown ass man talking about video games. Like, it doesn't, we don't need to be this serious. There's no us or them. We really mm-hmm. have to think about our individual worth and dollar. And like, that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day. So yeah. I think when it comes down to how we treat each other, it's just like, I'm lucky for the trophy room because we've made a community where I don't see like you and Ray will bicker, but I know you two don't fucking mean it one bit, but
not
like,
even a little bit.
But like, that's not believable. But like your face again, I got that look.
Not even a bit. Not even a bit.
But like we don't have that like that mentality. So it's like it's about like taking the bull like those people and just going, you don't belong here. We don't want you. This community doesn't serve you because it's about positive talk and more like critical thought and analysis.
And maybe for better or for worse, this is maybe just me like and my personality. I believe that we should be able to like I should be able like if you say something that I feel has a lot of energy behind, a lot of aggression behind it, and I match you with that aggression, then it's always that retaliation that is actually penalized. Right. Mm-hmm. Instead of actually realizing that both people are coming at each other with like a lot of like ferocity and just like really going out to kill each other. It's like, it's the reaction. It's like, oh, look at that guy just completely losing his mind. It's like, but he. And that's kind of like that. It, even as I describe it, it is very childish. And what ended up happening, I feel like in a really concerted way was all of a sudden, you know, the entire year. And I kind of described this on Twitter. Xbox fans have been like, finally, the Series X looks awesome. It's got all this power. They're solving all the problems that people have been saying this whole time. And every time they made a move, then the other side would jump over and go like, you suck, you suck, you suck. You shouldn't be excited for that thing. This is stupid. This doesn't matter. Like, but The Last of Us, but Ghost, all these things. And then all of a sudden, it's just like the entire thing just like flipped. And so there was a lot of pent up rage that kind of happened this whole year of Xbox is the side that has been talking to their fans this full year. Yes. And every time that Xbox said something new about stuff and Xbox fans got excited, they were told why they shouldn't get excited. Right? So I feel like there has to be some sort of like acknowledgement of that as maybe there's a reason for this backlash or for this, like why we're all coming at each other in this way. It's because we've been excited for this thing all year and people have not hesitated, not once, to tell us that it doesn't matter and then come up with like some unrelated reason for why our excitement is unjustified.
Well, my uncle has the inside scoop because he works at Microsoft. He says that Phil Spencer eats, I don't know, cinnamon raisin bagels. Like
your analogy of like getting picked on for the whole time is very apt, I think. Right? It's just it was never good enough because The Last of Us and Ghost.
And I think look, I've given a lot of praise to Microsoft. I mean, a lot of this conversation has been about Microsoft because they've been making the most moves. I think what you said as well speaks volumes. Is like they've talked the most. They've given us the things to talk about. They've acted like the leader. But at the same exact time, I'm not losing sleep. I don't have an Xbox Series X pre-order, and it really does come down to. Yeah. I got Last of Us, I got Ghost of Tsushima. I'm here for the first party games. I'm here for the content. Mm-hmm. And once that changes, I'll make the achievement hall a hallway made by Phil for Phil. So the
achievement hall.
What's that?
I realized you're talking about the next podcast. You're going to do the achievement hall. I got it. Mm-hmm.
So like for me, it's just like, you know, I think we just have to get back to celebrating games and giving critical thought. And actually,
that's thinking, a better way to put it.
Yeah. Like thinking outside of our ecosystem for a second. Like, look, I walked in going, yes, Bethesda would probably be third party. And then you gave a very good argument. And I'm just like, well, that's math. And now I'm like, yeah, probably not. And you know what? No harm, no foul.
Right. And that's what I would rather strive for. Like, I think there's like, I don't know. I'm kind of choosy about my words, usually, unless I'm driving along the road and just trying to make sure that I don't die while I record a podcast. That's a whole other thing. Yeah. But, when we talk about like, oh, we should all just celebrate games and stuff. I'm like, I'm not necessarily like, I'm not quite that, hippie about it. I'm not that kumbaya about the whole thing. Like, cause that kind of removes the whole, let's just not criticize each other. It's like, that's not what I want either. I want us to be able to come to the table with different ideas, different viewpoints on stuff, and then just still be able to have that conversation. Because if you just go no arguments allowed, then that's boring. That's actually where you start to get like siloed groups. That's where like that's a whole like where extremism really starts to come in. That's where you start to have people go like, if I can't talk to a PlayStation guy about why I love Xbox, then I'm just gonna go over here, be really mad about the PlayStation guy, and then when I come out, I'm gonna explode. And that's kind of what you see is happening, is we're not ever able to...
You just described U.S. politics.
It's politics. It's pretty much. It's pretty much the same. This is what I mean. It's just relationships in general. Mm-hmm. It's just if you're not able to talk to one another, then you're going to silo off and just the pressure will build up and everything will explode. And that's kind of what's happening.
It's, well, for me, it's a little different. It's, to me, it's just like, again, like, celebrating it, cool, because like at the end of the day, these are toys, like real talk, toys,
of course,
grand scale. But at the same exact time, be critical, talk about the things you don't like or what you do like, and you can have those conversations. But I think the hardest thing, and when it comes to the internet, is finding those conversations, mm-hmm. and having that critical conversation with each other. To me, yeah, like I don't want to sit here with my, you know, like my hippie jacket on and with a banjo singing about how,
yeah, let's all get along,
great, because like, mm-hmm. it's really about being critical and just like taking your fanboy hat off and just having honest conversations. But that said, you can't have them on Twitter. I don't think that you can't. It's impossible, you know.
Apparently, yeah, that's the sad thing. And it's to say, like, when some of these arguments kind of happen on Twitter, it's almost like my side is perfect and I'm going to criticize the imperfection of your side. And it's like, that's not really it either. Mm-mm. Is like, I think that's what kind of came out of this conversation tonight, is we've both been kind of pretty clear on like the imperfections of each of our sort of respective sides.
Yeah.
And that allows us to go like it immediately drops the guard down.
Yeah.
Where like, I think I started right at the start was like, the Xbox started out really strong and then they had a couple of hiccups and it's like, okay, you don't think they're perfect. You can see that they're not this like perfect being. And right. That allows us to actually have like a good conversation. Instead, what happens when on Twitter, when somebody points out, well, this is stupid, it's like, oh, you think you're perfect.
You son of a bitch. Yeah, and like, when we talk about like, well, what has Microsoft done for me that like I'm not like over the hills excited for? It really just comes down to, you've talked a really great game. I just want to see this thing, and we will. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I got 45, 44 days by the time this recording goes off until we see this console, and it's taken this long. Like, to me, the reason why I'm so excited for PlayStation is I have seen what these games are going to look like, right? Like, yeah. I've seen the gameplay of Miles, and
what about the comparisons?
What's that?
Is that going to matter? What about the comparisons? Like, that we know that I will say, and then maybe I'll get a reaction from this. We know that the Series X is more powerful than the PS5. And then the SSD. And like, I would
the
say,
stance
is, I think it's fair to say that it's more powerful, but somebody else could say, and I think that they would be fair to do so, is that that SSD might make up for things. Yeah. Now, what we haven't seen is that Digital Foundry, here's how Assassin's Creed, whatever it's called, Valhalla, runs on PS5 versus Series X. And it's 57 frames per second on this one, and it's 60 frames on this other one, and we're right back to 900p versus 1080p.
To me, I know this is such a cop-out answer. I get it. It really is. Because like, when I talk to Microsoft fans, they're just like, oh, finally, we have the most powerful console, and it's technically maybe like just the same price. Like, we're going to really fuck them here. And I never really understood that. Oh, the PlayStation 4 at the launch was more powerful. It was a little bit more capable, but it was like minute. And like, I forget who said that, like, you know, what is it? 1080p makes you a better gamer. Like, I forgot all those little things. They never mattered to me. And it's such a cop out answer, but it's just like,
it mattered to me, by the way. I was playing all my games on, like, especially at the launch, and especially when there's not a lot of like exclusivity happening, when most of the games are the same. Dude, like, look at my PS4 collection. Those early years between 2013 and maybe 2015, like basically when the S came out is when I started to transfer back over to Xbox. Everything was on PlayStation.
Right.
Like, I Destiny was on PlayStation because of that whole thing. There's a Glacier White one, which was beautiful. Fallout's on PlayStation. Even South Park, for God's sakes. Like, that's how PlayStation I was at the start of this thing, because why wouldn't I? It's more powerful. If I have a choice to play, if I have both of them, why wouldn't I play them on the more powerful system? It's kind of like where I was at.
to me, it's like, I'm in this ecosystem. I love trophies. And I'm here. Like it really comes mm-hmm. down to like, oh, I'm here. And that's why I'll like, right. I'll play Cyberpunk knowing full well I have a PC that'll run it better than my consoles. I'm still playing it on my PlayStation. Mm-hmm, I don't like mouse mm-hmm. and keyboard. Like that's just my thing. So I've never been about that. Like it has to be native 4K, 60 FPS. So like when the comparisons happen for me, I don't care per se. Mm-hmm. As long as they look good, noticeably different, I'm fine. But I bet that's going to move the needle for some people out there because like there's no buts about it, guys. That the Xbox is more powerful than the PlayStation. Mark Cerny did not put any like sweet sour sauce, you know, Szechuan sauce in that console to make it run faster. You know,
just sticky like what? I don't even know. Honey mustard.
Yeah. There? No honey mustard here. None.
What about like how it even works? Like, does that bother you that you don't know like what the UI looks like? That was the whole like that was the other part of like we believe in generations and this like the new one isn't going to look like the PS4, which I like the PS4 UI, which by the way feels like it's slowing down a little bit.
It is slowing down.
Is that fair to say?
Honestly,
it's kind of chugging a little bit.
Yeah, all you need to do is make that faster, and I'm like, okay, we're back.
I like it. Quick resume, things like that we've seen on Xbox, like, is that something that you would like to like switch from game to game to game? Seems pretty awesome to me. I don't know if Sony has an answer for that.
I don't know. And I think that's the biggest, up on, I think really the one that really matters, the up from Microsoft to Sony is like, Microsoft is a software company.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have all these things down pat. Sony is at its heart a hardware company and a production company, so like it's not really like I never expected to prefer the PlayStation UI over the Xbox, but I do,
right?
So like it doesn't worry me. I'm just like, can I see it already? Like, can we rip this thing off? Can we just see what lift the hood for
they've shown you what you should see to sell it at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel like if there was something else to show to sell you on it, then they would actually show you. What I would be like maybe worried as a Sony fan is like maybe that experience isn't as strong, and which is also good because they focus on the games. Right. Like, and that's been the argument the entire time, which is totally valid.
And to me, it's just like, well, you showed me how fast, like it's pretty much we're in this car. You showed me how fast it can go and all that jazz. Do I really care about the radio? No.
Not right? at this time. Probably not at this point.
No. So like to me,
but at the same time, like these are things that Xbox has been addressing, and that like these were things that they were slain over this last generation. Didn't have enough power. They rectified that. The UI was garbage. They were, and the, like all of those things that were points against Xbox led people to go to PlayStation.
And I think so we're at this
like
point
they matter
where
in that front.
We're at PlayStation land, and we're just assuming it's going to be fine. For the most part,
right.
But I would like to see the UI, but am I like fawning over it? Am I like, you know?
Yeah, you don't make a purchase decision on a $500 machine based on like that menu is real pretty.
Exactly. I don't give a
probably not.
Like Kyle, actually, when we saw they teased the UI, Kyle's like, oh, and I'm just like, what happened? He's like, I think we're going to show us the UI. And I'm like, cool.
I like it, man. Like I don't know if I'm quite there, but I do get excited, especially as somebody who's, you know, seeing the Xbox UI just get improved and improved, and you see those little iterations and you do get excited. It's like, oh, this is a nice little boost here, and this is a nice little boost here. And this latest revision has been really nice. So if you've gone from like ugly to pretty, it's like, oh, well, look at this. I'm glad I stuck with this. But if it's never really been an issue, then you don't really like care to look for it, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And that's where I'm at. So like to me, I'm like, I'm pretty sure we're gonna see the UI next week. Tops on my birthday, October 4th. But like when it comes to what I haven't want to see from Xbox or what I think they've messed up on, definitely Halo. Like at the end of the day, guys,
that's,
I'm a huge
that's
Halo
crazy.
Nut.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking like, wow, what if they had Halo? But the one thing that like I think the middle half where like, yeah, like the whole, what was it? The 2020 Xbox 2020, the thing that never happened. That was that lull period, like from May to August. I was just like, oof, Xbox. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Ran out of gas.
Yeah. But now look, Bethesda just what is it?
And Series S. I think Series S also had a nice little positive for them, just to have that option for people to, like, for the PlayStation fans who go, I'm definitely getting a PlayStation, and I've been saying this entire time, gosh, and I'm hearing it, Game Pass is good, then it gives them an entry point. I feel like that is so huge to just dip a little bit into that and then go, look how much easier it is over here.
Yeah.
And you can still play, and this, where people I think will end up is basically where I'm at, where I'll have my PlayStation and I will be buying my first party stuff over there and everything's great, but everything else, like all my Game Pass stuff, is going to be on Xbox. Yeah. So I think that both can win there. It's two totally different strategies. It's kind of like the most exciting, I think, gaming has ever been. Especially after, like, remember the iteration we were getting in the last generation? Yeah. Kinect. That's what that's what they were selling us.
Well.
I was buying that too, man. I liked it. Like, I liked it. That Skype call too. Follows you around the room, man. That was awesome. You can tell it to show your stuff and it can scan your QR codes.
Minority Report. All good. Like, I love it. Give me mm-hmm, that. Give mm-hmm. me the motion, the waving around. Yeah. So, like, at the end of the day, like, I'm super pumped for PlayStation. I'm super excited for Xbox. I think they're both heading in interesting directions. One where it's like Sony's like, we're playing it safe. We're doing what we did. We're doing what works. And Microsoft going, mm-hmm. we are going in this game, not games of service, but this service direction where we mm-hmm. are more what Microsoft is at the end of the day, which, you know, is a service company. They yeah. provide tech services, and this is the next evolution of that. And it's two totally different things. And I think you're dead on point here, where it's just like, at the end of the day, I'll probably get a Series S. I don't know. It's my Game Pass machine, and I'll be playing, you know, Sea of Thieves and other games like that on there. And then everything else, it's just on my PlayStation, and I'm enjoying myself there. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of like, multi-console households type of thing, which is cool.
Can I leave with this, like, the most inflammatory comment of the night? Now we can and think about this.
Okay.
With the purchase of Bethesda, $7.5 billion, with Microsoft waving around their big veiny purple hand,
okay,
with oof. Their money full of it, right?
Yeah.
Everything's amazing, and as people go, man, Game Pass, I think I'm just going to be buying or playing all my games over there as more and more content shows up there. And then Sony goes, well, the one thing that they've got is their exclusives. Is the end game here? Is one of the many millions of conclusions that Doctor Strange saw was Sony becomes a software publisher, just like Sega, because they got outplayed on the console bit, and you're able to play PlayStation first-party games on anywhere else, like Sega. Is that something that could possibly happen?
Sony needs PlayStation to be a success. And I think that's a good point. I honestly think Microsoft has them, as a PlayStation fan, has them beat on just cash. They could just outspend. You know, this is a Ulysses Grant situation here. He's just going to throw his money out there, you know, until something sticks. And
it feels kind of like Thanos, doesn't it? Like, he's got all the stones. Like, that's the purple hand I was kind of talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I got it.
It just seems like you can't beat him. You know what I mean? Like, how are you supposed to, if when he's that, he doesn't even think about it. He snaps his finger and half the world is gone.
But it just comes down to, like, this large, you know, thing of cash. And I think Microsoft was so 100% right, where they're just like, dude, Sony is not a threat. Don't care about them. Mm-hmm. We care about Google, Amazon, and
Amazon,
Apple.
Man, especially today. Amazon today, like, I mean, that's a whole other podcast or whatever, but I think that thing's got legs, man. Like, just completely first blush, I think price point is good. They've got 100 games. It works in Safari browsers, for God's sakes.
Suck it, Tim Cook.
And seriously, it's more about that, my comment about, like, PlayStation just being charged, like, they keep their first parties, and then they'll be able to play, like, what is their future where you're playing Uncharted 17 right. on a Luna, you know?
I think it's bound to go that way. I really do think, you know, if there's a next generation, it is just like your Apple TVs, your PlayStation Fire Stick type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's your Xbox still, but it's a little cube that like, I don't know, also acts as a hoverboard.
The Series S was supposed to look like. I wish it looked like that, man.
It really, the cute little cube. So cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where I think that's where the future is in services. I think PlayStation's going to be an app one day. It's like PlayStation's going to be Hulu. Xbox is going to be Netflix type of deal. It's going to be apps on a screen. There is a part of me. Now you want to put the tinfoil hat on here. Joseph say something totally crazy. Probably won't, 99% won't happen. The dumbest thing probably I'll say is I think somewhere down the road, Sony gets acquired by someone a lot bigger that has money that could funnel into making PlayStation.
Like Amazon or Google?
I'm thinking.
Or Nintendo?
Guys, and like, again, a tinfoil hat on. Like, mm-hmm. if I would have to choose, it's probably like an Apple. A behemoth that can actually fund and have this space that like Amazon has their thing, Stadia has their thing. When I take a look at Apple in their games, they have jack shit. They need something. And when I also take
that would be interesting. It would be Apple versus Microsoft all over again.
Yes. And so like they know, like they also, there was talks of them buying, Sony's production side, and Sony considers themselves not really so much of a tech giant anymore, so much as a production. So like they were going to sell their movie and TV division to Apple. Rumor has it, if that rumor is actually true. So like I could see one day Apple knock on the door going, hey, I hear these video games or something, purchase. Because that brand means
totally
so
could
much.
See that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the end, because at this point, it is PlayStation has.
Golly, that'd be crazy.
What's that?
That would be crazy. That's not crazy at all. I don't think that sounds like I could imagine a world where that happens.
Yeah, it's just they're probably get absorbed by a bigger company, and like don't panic, don't whatever. It's just like the way of the beast. It just happens. I don't think the culture in that company changes much. It just means they get infused with a bunch of capital. But that's where I kind of see it, because if this race is determined by cash and who has the most of it, it's Microsoft. Also, I don't really believe in the whole like console war, like one box has to sell more than the other in order for me to be happy about what I have. So right. Like, for me, like who wins? I say who cares. But
sure. Yeah.
Like for me, yeah, I think like end game scenario, if I'm being real with myself, it's probably they get acquired somewhere down the road. That means they get infused with capital. That means they go out there, buy an Ubisoft. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the best thing that Sony can do in the next like 5 to 10 years or so, like basically this generation is very pivotal because of these big bets that Microsoft and Amazon and Google are all making on this whole cloud thing, thinking like it's a given that it will work out. Yeah. And it's definitely not a given. You know what I mean? Like just because there's all these billions of dollars, trillions of dollars being put into it, it's not a given. So if Sony can kind of like withstand this, and they can almost do it almost like in partnership with Nintendo, and you can see where Nintendo and Xbox really started to buddy up this generation, because PlayStation was just this behemoth and like they were better together. You could see maybe Nintendo and PlayStation maybe being a little bit friendly to basically sell the in-home experience.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's really critical for what Xbox is doing, is they're actually in both camps, right? They have the in-home, you download Game Pass games, you don't just stream them, it's not just a cloud experience. So they haven't bet everything on cloud. Like they're positioned just really well on that front. But
I think that is at the end of the day, what it is like Sony is trying to sell you a premium experience or the illusion of premium, right? They're like, dude, this fucking controller, it's all sorts of vibrations. Like, you know, they're really trying to sell you on like, you put your headphones on, you're in the game. Like those features that I would love to see Microsoft really boast about, but they don't seem like they have. I know like Adobe Sound or something, but like those features, I want to see how fleshed out they are, but Sony is selling this. You need a box in here. So I think that their road to success looks different than Microsoft's, but they're still vying for audience in those homes, because at the moment, a box in the home is the premier way to play. So like they are competing with each other right now, but we're going to see that Fast and Furious like deviation where they go their separate ways eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
I just don't think it's now. So like, again, Like, you know, when we talk about like crazy acquisitions or whatever, totally me, it being 12 o'clock in the morning. But I do think when it comes to like where Sony's head's at is we need to sell consoles. Where Microsoft's head's at is we need to sell Game Pass. That's what it really comes down to at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, so I hate you forever.
Thank you. Go to hell, by the way.
Yeah.
Go straight to hell. That's
never talk to me again. I'm blocking you on Twitter now.
That's it.
And I can't wait for November. I'm taking the 11th, 12th, and 13th off.
Yeah.
We're going to play some games. Yeah, man.
I wish I could take off. I'm gainfully unemployed, stuck in my home. Life's a terror.
That's okay, man. Enjoy it. That's a good time. You're going to look back in years to come. You're like, man, I just wish I could just play games. Yeah, well, let's play Destiny, as Jace is saying in the chat.
Okay.
On Game Pass.
So we're both excited. So what you're telling me before we leave is that we're both excited for these consoles.
For you. I'm excited for you for PlayStation.
Yeah, and I'm excited for you for Xbox.
Cool.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah. That's
everybody, that's been the show.
It's like the fight. Everybody's going to come at school. Like, oh, they're going to fight. They're going to fight. You're like, I mean, we're cool.
We're cool. No, our moms talked. So, you know.
Cool, man. Well, I'm glad we skipped out the whole year so we could just have it all build out to this.
I know.
This final moment.
Can we do this again? Because this is actually a lot of fun. Like, when the consoles actually come out.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Like, the weekend, or
when Cyberpunk is announced finally to come to Game Pass. When that happens, then you can pay me over PayPal live on the internet.
We talked so much about the Bethesda deal. We didn't even talk about the pre-order blunders.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever.
Whatever. It doesn't matter because they're both sounding great. So, yeah. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the weekend of or something. We'll work something out. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in November. Sean.
Yeah, I love it.
For Joe. People on YouTube, where can they find you?
Find me at Twitter at Sean Capri, at Sean like Connery, Capri like the pants. And on the Xbox Drive, if you want to hear a little shorter version of this every single week, me and Ryan Turford, I drive in my car, record a podcast, and you can find it on whatever, Spotify, the iTunes, the Google, sort of. Does Google even still exist? I say that sort of thing. What about you, man? Where are you at?
I just invisibly ran someone over with my car.
It's hard, man. It's hard to drive and podcast at the same time.
Yeah, and now we got to bury this body. You can find me over at Mr. Badbit on Twitter. You can find the Trophy Room on Twitter, PS Trophy Room over there. Get caught up with the latest, the greatest in all things PlayStation over on that Twitter. Of course, if you're on this YouTube channel, you know the Trophy Room each and every Thursday. Me and my best friend Kyle talk about the latest, the greatest in all things PlayStation. So expect that. Or if you're like, Joe, I like YouTube, but like I got podcast services. Where can I find, is the Trophy Room there? Yes, you can find the Trophy Room on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast services, you can find us there. And with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, just keep playing games. Be nice to each other, okay? Respect each other. It's easy. Wash your hands. Wear a mask.